Hi, this is Megan Francis, and you're listening to the Kitchen Hour Podcast. I'm here to keep you company while you get dinner on the table and help you set aside more time for family, food, and fun. Hi, and welcome to the Kitchen Hour. I'm here this week with my friend Amy Swarty. She is the mind behind the blog Frugal Mama, which is frugal-mama.com. Nice to have you here, Amy.
Thank you, Megan. I'm happy to be here.
This is really fun for me because Amy and I have been friends online what seems like forever, and we just realized today is the first time we've actually spoken in person. So this is very exciting.
Yeah.
So we may ramble a little bit and get very chatty, but I hope that'll be fun. So, you know, the Thanksgiving holiday is right around the corner, and one thing that I know, especially for people who are trying to save money at the holiday, is kind of this Black Friday shopping issue. And I have to say, I'm going to wait and see what Amy thinks of this, but I have some definite opinions about Black Friday. So Amy, I would love to hear like how you kind of handle, you know, just kind of using this Black Friday thing as the jumping off point, how you handle kind of easing into holiday shopping, or have you already started it and, you know, you're super organized? I really want to hear your strategy.
Well, first of all, I kind of blackmail Black Friday.
Uh-huh.
I think, which people might find surprising because I'm, you know, I write about saving money and stuff, but I just don't want to get caught up in the frenzy. And I feel like most of my gifts I want to be more thoughtful and maybe handmade and things that I am going to start ahead of time. Like, for example, my parents, I make this photo book of the whole year, collecting photos from the whole year. And they really look forward to that. I mean, they have everything they need. And most people, a lot of people have, you know, they can, if they need something, they go out and buy it. So what I think people really appreciate are sort of the thought out presents that take a while for someone to create, you know, whether it's your children making, writing poems or, you know, I've given coupon books to my kids where I, say, you know, this is good for, you know, going to bed and half an hour later tonight or skipping my chores this weekend. And then they sort of caught on to that and they've been starting to give us the sweetest things, like little books of, you know, when you're feeling tired, come and, you know, you can give me this ticket for a free massage and or like a hair salon thing. So I really try to focus on the presents that make people feel good inside, because I just feel like our house just gets more and more cluttered with stuff. It's a constant battle to keep the stuff out.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And so,
and you know, doesn't it, and to that point, it feels like the stuff that tends to be in those Black Friday, at least the ones that they promote as the big items, are like TVs and stuff that I would just never buy people anyway.
Right. Yeah.
You know? I'm not going to give my in-laws a TV. I mean, and if we were going to purchase one for our family, it'd probably be like a purchase that we would think about for a long time and maybe have already kind of mapped out. And I'm just not going to.
Exactly.
I'm not just going to like be in this crowd of people, this throng of people, you know, rushing the door.
Yeah. It's kind of, it makes you feel, I don't know, it would make me feel kind of ridiculous. And I mean, there are just other ways to
save,
you know, I just don't think it's worth it, but I guess.
I went one time, gosh, when was it? I think, and I looked forward to it because I went with my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law, and I had my oldest son, was like about a year old, so I got to go out, you know, without him, and that was like really fun. I looked forward to it. But then we stood outside of Target for like 3 hours, and it was freezing cold, and we were waiting to get this door prize, and I think the door prize was like a Matchbox car. And when I finally got inside, I thought, Matchbox cars are 99 cents, and I have just given up 3 hours of my life to get this Matchbox car. And even though we were pretty good up in line, I mean, we weren't like at the end of the line or anything, by the time we got in, most of the stuff, you know, was picked over, that, you know, those items that were like flying off the shelves, those were gone. And so then I was kind of like, well, I'm already here, I guess I might as well buy some stuff. And I ended up buying all this crap I didn't even want or need.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Oh,
when you go to the trouble of doing something like that, or even just going to the mall or going to a thrift shop, you feel like you, it's really hard to come home empty-handed. It's very hard, you know, and I'm, you know, pride myself on being frugal, but I find it really disappointing leaving someplace with nothing and going home, you know, 3 hours of my time supposedly wasted. So,
and you know, and the other thing last year, and you know, I don't want to bag on Black Friday shopping. I know a lot of people look at it kind of like a fun girls thing or something they do with their mom or, you know, just like a fun little event. But then last year, everyone started doing it on Thanksgiving. Like all these stores were doing it on Thanksgiving Day. And I was like, okay, I mean.
Right. That's sad.
So anybody who might have before been, you know, looked forward to this all year is like this big event they're going to do with their kids or their family or whatever. Well, now they have to give up Thanksgiving to go shopping. It was just like, we're going to push it back to Halloween. I mean, like, where does the madness end?
I know. It's hard because it makes you feel like if you're trying to save money, you feel like, oh, I should go, you know? Mm-hmm. Just like when you get all these sales newsletters in your inbox and it makes you feel like, oh, well, there's a sale, so maybe I should buy clothes for my kid now.
Right.
So I think it takes vigilance on each individual's, you know, in each of ourselves to create boundaries and barriers against this like commercialism of, you know, and these marketing powerhouses, because they are going to be more and more aggressive at trying to, you know, get the money out of our wallets. And we have to like sort of set boundaries and decide what's okay and what's not. And maybe it is okay to go for a group shopping trip, you know, together at that time of year. But if that starts feeling overwhelming and like, you know, that's not really what you want, but you feel like you should because you should save money, then it just takes some thought and deciding whether this is the right way that you want to spend your time.
And I do think as consumers that we have some power. Like last year, a lot of the, you know, there was some backlash about all those, and I don't know I haven't looked yet to see what retailers are planning for this year. I don't even know if they've announced it yet. But last year, I know there was a lot of pushback because of all these places that had these Thursday sales. And I think a lot of them were just like, well, you know, other stores were doing it, so we had to be competitive. Like, and I think if there's enough people that are like, look, you know, I'm not interested in shopping on a Thursday or on Thanksgiving. That's, I don't want to do that. Then maybe stores will take notice and be like, no, we're going to draw that line. So we have a lot of power, I think, more sometimes than we think we do to let our voices be heard by not showing up or complaining. and then maybe some retailers would be like, well, maybe, you know, maybe we could start our online sales on Thursday. But because that was one thing I did do last year, you know, I had my computer out. It was like, before, maybe after Thanksgiving dinner, and I was at my mother-in-law's house, and I was like, well, maybe I'll just see what people have, you know, on sale right now. And I think I went on like Amazon and I bought a few gifts. Just, it took me 15 minutes and I was like, oh, these are pretty good sales. I don't have to go anywhere. So yeah. I got some stuff on Amazon, and I think I want to say like one of the other website, like a retailer's website. But I was like, oh, that was a good option. I didn't have to go anywhere. I still, you know, took 15 minutes away from my family, got a good deal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
that sounds kind of like Cyber Monday, and I'm all for Cyber Monday as opposed to Black Friday, because like you said, you don't have to spend all the time traveling there and waiting in lines and stuff, and you can get good deals, you know, just with a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's why I like also, I think the internet coupon codes are, they're the epitome of getting like something for nothing, or the free lunch. They're the one, like one of the very few ways that there's no trade-off in saving money.
Yeah, like, that's so true.
All you have to do is like quickly do a quick search for a coupon. You don't have to like organize coupons. You don't have to figure out when they expire. You don't have to sign up for any email newsletter marketing things. And, you know, it's just easy. And so I think Cyber Monday is kind of like that too. It's, you know, you just log on, see what's there. If you want it, get it. If you don't, then just close it and go on with your life.
Do you have a favorite? Do you just Google? Usually I'll just Google the retailer plus coupon code, but I wonder if you have any favorite sites, like, I don't know, Retail Me Not, I know is one.
Yeah, I usually use Retail Me Not. I think they're the best. Okay. And, you know, I mean, the companies are getting wise to this, and it's sort of like the heyday is over, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But there are still, I'm still surprised that you can just slash off like $10 like in 2 seconds.
It reminds me of like the beginning of the 2000, well, no, even later. It was like the late 90s. I don't know if you were online much yet, but that was when there was like that big boom of retailers coming online and everybody was giving away like $25 coupons and there was no strings attached. It was like sign up and you get $25 of the free stuff. That's, you don't have to buy anything. So my husband and I went on like a crazy, we went and signed up for every single site that had, it was like we had $25 worth of vitamins, $25 worth of, you know, shampoo, $25 worth. And then I think they all, well, I think all those companies went out of business. But it was so, it was like, I felt like we were getting away with something. It was like, does anyone know
Yeah, exactly.
And then I think the retailers finally figured out like, whoops, maybe we should have, you know, put some parameters on this. Maybe we should have had a purchase required or I don't know, something.
Yeah, unfortunately, those things don't last that long.
No, they don't. But it sounds like what, you know, and coming back to kind of the idea of shopping with a plan. I mean, it's all about being mindful because if you go out and even if you're on Cyber Monday, I mean, it's easy even to impulse buy on the internet. You know, you click around, you see this and oh, that's shiny and that's pretty. Yeah. And I've really been trying to get more organized with the way I buy gifts for my kids because even though I'm usually really good up until like the last week before Christmas, I'll have, you know, there are three, usually I get them three gifts and then one big gift. So each kid gets like three small things and one bigger thing. Mm-hmm. But then I'll be out at the store and I'm like, wait a second, do they all have three? Did I forget? Wait, did I leave one out? And then I'll be like, well, maybe I should get this just to kind of fill in the gap because I don't think his gift was as good. And I'm like, well, then I have to get something else to balance out. And I've had to actually like have returning sprees because I've gotten home and laid everything out of my bed. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like how did I end up with all these? I swear I was counting, but how did I end up with all these gifts?
That's hilarious. Yeah, exactly. You forget what you have. And that's another strategy for saving money is, you know, being organized and not letting the clutter pile up. I mean, I'm guilty of this too. Like sometimes you sort of stockpile craft supplies.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like more work to go through them all and find what you need and figure out where they are than like go out and buy some new, you know.
Right, exactly.
And that's where, I don't know, I'm trying to be better and just before I go to the thrift store, before we go to buy kids' clothes, then we check everybody's closet and okay, you have, you know, so-and-so pairs of pants, you don't need shirts, whatever. And even for myself, okay, yeah, oops, I already had like three black cardigans. I guess I didn't need to buy another one. Just take that extra 10 or 15 minutes to take stock before you, you know, go out and get more.
Get more stuff just to kind of add on to the pile. Well, I'm going through that. Our weather really just started changing in the last week. It was kind of, I don't know how it is where you are, but it was, you know, it was like it would get chilly and then it would go back to being warm and it would get chilly and go back to being warm. So really last week was the first day I really pulled everything out. And, but along the way I've been kind of like, if I've been out shopping, I've been adding, you know, a t-shirt here or whatever. And I looked at all the clothes and I was like, yeah, I overdid it this year. And it never feels like I'm overdoing it because I'm not a big shopper. So it's not like I'm always out picking things up and shopping. It was just, I would happen to be at Target and see a cute shirt on t-shirt on sale or something and be like, oh, you know, the boys probably need a long sleeve shirt for winter. So I'll just pick that up. And then I got home and I was like, okay,
oh my God.
I should have done this in the other order.
Oh yeah. Target is dangerous.
It is.
It's like Vegas.
Yeah,
for,
it is.
You know, for like shoppers. I mean, it's a gamble. Like, can you get in there without losing, you know, $150, you know, you were just supposed to go in to get diapers and then, you've got a whole cart full of stuff that looked cute and was on sale. I mean, it's just, it's scary. And one way I've avoided Target recently is because we moved to a city and it's actually kind of hard to get to now. Mm-hmm. So I've been using Amazon Prime.
Okay.
So I, you know, I first did their free trial membership and then I decided that it was worth it to pay. I think it's, I can't even remember. I think it's maybe $80 a year and you get it in like 2 days or less.
Mm-hmm.
So I just go on and get, okay, I needed this craft supply or that pair of gloves. And I just click it and it comes to my house like before I could probably even go out and get it.
And get it, right. Well, we have Prime and the shipping's always free with Prime, isn't it? So it's all, I love it.
You sort of pay ahead of time. Then you don't feel like you have to hit that $25,
right,
you know, free shipping mark. So you aren't like throwing extra things into your cart because, you know, you want the free shipping. So it saves me time, you know, it helps me slow down because I'm not always running errands. And And I avoid the temptations of being in the store and right. seeing that, you know, shiny, pretty colorful stuff. And, oh, I'm already here. Might as well.
Might as well. Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I am mindful because I don't like using all those cardboard boxes and stuff. But I think in the long run, I think it's good for everybody because I'm also not clogging up the, you know, the roads and.
Right. There's always, you know, there's always other factors besides the one in front of you, like the price that you're paying. There's another factor, you know? So it's like, and I decided a long time ago that I was probably never going to be the person who was going to drive around and bargain shop. Like I was never going to be the person who'd go to this store for this item and that store for that item.
Yeah.
Because in the end of it, I've lost hours out of my day, which are valuable. And I've driven around, which costs money and also has an effect on the rest of the world. And, sure. you know, and so it's never just that one, you know, it's never just as simple as the price. It's like,
exactly.
you know, and the same thing with, even sometimes I'm willing to pay a little bit more. And we have a superstore kind of, chain around here called Meijer, and I love Meijer. It's kind of like a Target, only it's got groceries and their stuff isn't quite as, you know, I don't know. It's not quite the same as a Target, but kind of like that.
Yeah.
And the groceries are a lot cheaper there. So oh. often I will shop there, but I know that if I go there, I'm also going to walk out with other stuff. That's not groceries. There's always that other. So sometimes I go to the little grocery store in town that costs a little bit more, but I know I can get in and out in like 25 minutes. I know exactly where everything is, and I'm not going to impulse buy there because there's nothing to impulsively buy.
You know? Yeah.
Maybe some cheese, but.
I mean, it's right, right. I love cheese.
Yeah.
You got it. But yeah, no, I agree. Like you have to kind of know yourself, and sometimes you have to sort of trick yourself like into doing what you want yourself to do. Like I treat myself like a child sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, if I know that I can't resist Target, then I try not to go there, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But sometimes like, you know, but I think we were talking about this before, like when I was raising young, well, I'm still raising young kids, but it was sort of at a time when I didn't have my blog and I was a little unfocused and, and I looked forward to that trip to Target.
Yes, absolutely. It was like
one of the highlights of my week. I mean,
very expensive pastime.
And it was just like colorful and pretty and exciting and shiny. And I got to buy stuff, even if it was just like fruit snacks and and whatever, like paper towels, you know, there was always something little and fun. But then unfortunately you sort of like, that's sort of like treating shopping like a hobby and you end up getting more
it's
than
an
you need.
Expensive hobby.
And you know, another thing that I like about online shopping is that instead of grabbing like whatever iron or vacuum that Target has, I do all my research ahead of time by like looking at product ratings and reviews.
Yes.
And I love consumer search. I feel kind of bad because I know that they're taking reviews from Consumer Reports and Cook's Illustrated and some like paid.
Oh, right.
Organizations, but it is free and you can go on there and they aggregate reviews and like user reviews from Amazon and things like that, and they recommend, okay, here is the best lawnmower, here's the best washing machine, here's the best even something small like flashlight. And so I look at those and I decide, okay, well, I'm not gonna buy the one that's gonna break, you know, might be a little
right.
cheap, but it's gonna break in a year and then I'm gonna be back, you know, back where I started.
Exactly.
So I like that that aspect about online shopping too. I mean, you know, it's a little tricky because you can't always hold it. Well, you can't hold it in your hands.
Right.
And sometimes it comes like the wrong size or whatever. It's not exactly what you thought. But I do like the idea of sometimes even spending a little bit more for higher quality, but more
absolutely. Durable. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm going to wrap up this segment here and then we're going to be back really soon. I want to talk more about online shopping and also just kind of simplifying in general and this idea that, you know, it's not all about stuff. Our time has value. Our experiences have value. You know, I just love this conversation we're having. So I'm excited to come back. We'll be right back. Hi, and I hope you're enjoying this episode of the Kitchen Hour podcast. Amy and I have shared a lot of resources today, so if you want to know more about any of the things that we're talking about or the websites, go to the show notes at thekitchenhour.com/episode5. That's thekitchenhour.com/episode5. Enjoy the rest of the show. Hi, welcome back to the Kitchen Hour. I'm here with my friend Amy Swarty, who is the blogger at frugal-mama.com. Welcome back, Amy.
Hi, thank you.
So we've been talking about shopping and online shopping and shopping as a hobby. And I you have to listen to the first segment if you're just coming in now. Download the other segment as well. But we were talking a little bit about shopping as a hobby. And that's something that I actually kind of wanted to get into a little bit more, because I think that's such a common thing with moms, especially, like you said, Amy, when you've got little kids. And I remember very clearly when my first two kids were really little, and this is when I was least in the position to shop. I had no money. And I was just bored and I wanted something special to do. So I would put them in the double stroller and just go push it around the mall. And I would stop and get myself fancy drinks and, not fancy booze, but fancy, like, you know what I mean? Like, and from Starbucks. And then I would go into the different stores. And even when I didn't buy things, I left wishing I had more money to spend, or I wished, like, wishing I had more stuff. It was just so unhealthy.
Yeah.
And I think it's very common. I think it's just because it's accessible and it's there and it's like something that anyone can do. You know, even if you've got little kids, it's like the one thing you can do on a cold day is go push them around the mall or go push them around Target.
Yeah. And it's also like contact with other humans. Yes. Like that's kind of like the American gathering place. Yeah. You know, we don't have town squares anymore. Right. It's like, that's where you find other people. And parenting can be really isolating, especially with young children, maybe before they've started school. And you're kind of like, well, now what are we going to do? Right. You know, and you're craving, you know, to just, even just some small talk with like a cashier or whatever, you know? I mean, it's nice to see other people and see action and hear music and colors and just sort of get out of your little world.
Right.
So I get it. And I think one way that I transitioned out of that was by getting involved in little groups. Like my community had a babysitting co-op and I finally, you know, decided, okay, I'm going to do this. I mean, I hemmed and hawed for a while and I decided I would do that. So then they were like, I started help organizing some things and they have like monthly meetings. And then there was, I think there was probably a play group I started organizing a cooperative play group that was in my town and you start making connections and then those people you hang out with on the playground and then you start telling each other about rummage sales. And it's sort of this like network that also it boosts you emotionally, but it also helps you save money because you start helping each other out. You start watching each other's kids, exchanging hand-me-downs, telling each other about sales or, free events and things like that. And it just starts making life richer and I think better. And it also saves money. So it's sort of like a win-win-win.
And I think too, sometimes that when you get into something, like if you say to yourself, I'm gonna start living more frugally. I'm gonna kind of get into this more simple lifestyle. Blah blah blah. It's everybody wants to have a purpose. And when I look back to a lot of the shopping that I did, or even just the wandering that I did, it wasn't like I really wasn't just aimlessly wanting to spend money. I really was purposefully trying to create a lifestyle for myself, I think. And so it was like I was just trying to create the wrong lifestyle. It was A, one I couldn't afford, and B, one that I think probably wouldn't have been satisfying to me in the long run. So like replacing that with a different kind of, you know, purpose.
Yes.
Then you have that satisfaction. And then maybe, you know, eventually when you do go into Target, you can approach it differently. And it's almost like a fun challenge. Like, you know, how can I best use my dollar here? How can I best stretch my budget and still maybe get, you know, whatever this little thing is that I need. And then you're not just going to Target. Maybe you're comparison shopping or you're going to the thrift store or I don't know. I feel like we all need like goals or projects or something to be working toward.
Yes, I so agree. And by getting involved in these little groups, you know, people need you. Like, let's say it's the PTA or it's like a citizens association. Mm-hmm. You offer to do something for them and you're making friends. Someone needs you. You have a purpose. Maybe you decide to revamp the program a little bit. And so you're feeling a sense of achievement. And you know, when I started my blog, I mean, that helped things too. But even before that, like, I got so busy with, I was helping revitalize my neighborhood school that going to Target became a chore.
Right.
It was something that I avoided because I was so into what I was doing and I was so excited about my new projects that it was like, oh, that's just an annoying errand that I don't want to do anymore.
Right.
So that was kind of interesting too, where, and now I think that's why I've gotten into this online, you know, quick Amazon shopping, is because I'm just not that interested in it anymore. Yeah. I have things to do that are more compelling and I feel like make me better as a person and fulfill me more. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the ideal, because yeah, shopping is sort of, I mean, of course, you know, people need things and your shopping is something that everybody has to do a little, mm-hmm, at least, but right.
Yeah. And you know, what killed it for me was having the third baby. Yeah. After he was born, I was like, you know, this is no fun anymore. I don't want to go shopping because it's a real pain. It was already kind of becoming that way with two kids. Adding the third, I was like, yeah. And then it was funny. Once my mindset kind of shifted away from that, it wasn't really that hard to stop. I mean, it was just kind of like I had to, like you said, I had to fill my time with other things that were ultimately more fulfilling and meaningful and just had longer long-term
positive
effects.
Yeah, shopping is kind of like binging. I mean, mm-hmm, it feels good at the moment, you know, like binge eating or something. It's like, okay, this chocolate or this donut is going to make me, you know, I feel terrible about what just happened, but this is going to make me feel better. And it does for a second, you know, right. And it's sort of like, then you're stuck. I mean, my house became filled and filled and filled with like more and more junk from Target and all these other places. And we moved to New York City at one point and it was embarrassing the amount of stuff I was giving away.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, some of it was like, you know, term papers from college that I hadn't had the heart to give away yet. But I mean, I felt bad about how much I had kind of wasted, you know, not just money, but resources, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. So, it's nice when you don't need that anymore to, like, as a sort of a pick me up, like,
right. There's nothing like a move to show you exactly what you've acquired.
Yeah.
It's sick.
Yeah.
And even, I mean, it's funny, even the times in my life that I've been sure I really haven't shopped that much, because we've moved quite a bit over the last 10 years or so. Every time we've moved, I've been like, what? Like, where did all this stuff come? I don't even remember buying this stuff. I wasn't me. Somebody else bought this stuff. Somebody else must have given it to us. But, you know, and I'm not, and the thing is too, that I'm really not a minimalist. So it makes it kind of like, I like stuff. It makes it kind of, because I'm never going to be the kind of person who wants to have like one shelf with like, you know, like a shelf with like a one artfully arranged, you know, candle. What? You know, like that one object. That's not me. I like little reminders of things. I just like things. And so it is hard sometimes to kind of, you had a blog post about that recently, didn't you? Like, it wasn't written by you. Was it written by a guest poster?
One of my contributing writers. She, it was entitled Why I'm No Longer a Suburban Minimalist.
Oh, that's right.
She used to have a blog called The Suburban Minimalist, and she realized that she wasn't really a minimalist, but because she had named her blog that way, she felt like she had to live up to this minimalist ideal and give away all your clothes except for two pairs of jeans. And, you know, and then she regretted that, you know, she's like, why did I give those things away? My niece, you know, could have used these children's books and all this stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, there's definitely extremes to everything. And I don't think I'm a minimalist either, but I kind of long for some of the aspects of it, you know, mm-hmm, like I just feel like life is just so, it can just get so overwhelming and it always feels like, you know, the clutter is a constant battle. So if I can keep my stuff down, then I won't always be picking it up, I feel, you know, and
that's true. That's definitely true.
Putting away and stuff.
And but, you know, but at the same time, it's not just your stuff. I mean, you have four kids, right?
Yeah.
So there's going to be stuff.
Yeah. No, there, of course there is. I mean, you know, you're talking about gifts. Like,
right.
That's another thing. I feel like 90% of our toys were given to us.
Right.
And, you know, thinking about birthday parties and stuff, mm-hmm, one way that we kind of slow down and simplify is that we've gotten into having really small birthday parties. Mm-hmm. And, like for my older daughters, we've gotten into sleepover parties. And so they invite like two girls And I don't have to entertain like a whole gaggle of kids and their parents. So I don't have to like cook up a storm and decorate the house and, you know, clean, do the double clean, you know, the before and after and all that stuff. And they only get, you know, a couple gifts. And so then they also don't get invited to like 15 birthday parties either. Because, you know, like some schools require you to invite the whole class. But if you're going to invite one kid, then you have to invite the whole class. But then, like, people complain about having to, like, do the birthday party circuit every weekend. And they never have downtime, just hang out because they've got three birthday parties, like, every weekend and stuff.
And I don't understand that because, like, some of these kids I've literally never heard of before. And I'm like, it's not – I'm not saying you're not friends. I'm just saying you're not really friends. You know, like one of my kids will get an invitation. I'm like, you know, do we even know this kid? I mean, I'm sure he's really nice, but you don't need to be friends with all 30 of your classmates, like to that degree. It's fine for you to have your little group of three friends or four friends or whatever it is. I love this. We do the sleepovers too. And I love it for the same reasons. And it's easy. And like people have said to me things before, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, you know, you're letting all these, you're having this big sleep. Because sometimes my boys now will have like four. What often ends up happening is a lot of my boys' friends have younger siblings who are my other son's age.
Oh.
So they end up being a group deal. So I'll end up with like a house, you know, with like eight extra kids in it. Wow. And people will say, but maybe from only four families, you know. Uh-huh. And people will say, I can't believe you're doing that. You know, why would you want to have all these kids in your house? I'm like, are you kidding me? I would so much rather have kids in my own house where I can control it, you know, than have 30 kids at the ice cream place or – you know, whatever, the Build-A-Bear workshop or whatever the places that people do these parties. It's like,
well, and it's also unbelievably expensive when you start needing to have a party outside of your home.
Yes.
It gets unbelievably expensive. But having it in your home is also just really stressful and exasperating. It can be expensive in its own way. So that's why I like the sleepovers, because they're small. We usually just have a family. We like sit down and have our normal family dinner. So I'm just making a little bit extra. And then maybe they decorate cookies as their activity and watch a movie, or they just want to really just stay up and talk, you know. And my biggest challenge is like out staying them up, you know, so I can make sure that they actually fall asleep before, which happened once. So, and then, you know, something that happened this year, I felt a little bit guilty about, but then I realized that maybe it's okay. But so my son just turned two, and I feel like the two-year-old birthday is the perfect one to skip the party for, because, of course, one, you know, when your child turns one, you have to have, like, at least some kind of celebration.
Right.
Because, you know, it's their first birthday. And by three, they're wise to this whole thing. And they're
Hey, it's my birthday.
Yeah. So, like, my two-year-old's birthday sort of crept up on us. It was in the summer, and everyone was away, and we were traveling and stuff like that. And And I was like, he has so many presents. He's not even going to notice if I give him another one. And he, you know, like, we have so many toys. He's
right.
And even the grandparents forgot. I mean, like, nobody really focused on it. So we made cupcakes at home. We enjoyed them, but we didn't even have, sometimes I'll invite like other families over, like just friends of the family.
And,
low-key thing. We didn't even do that. My daughter had made him like a little hand knitted kind of like little purse. She said he could put his like Matchbox cars in. And we sat there after we had our cupcakes and like a little special family dinner. You know, we gave him his one present, which was this little knitted purse.
Right.
He sat there. He was in my arms and he was like putting a car in back and
forth. Oh, that's so cute.
Was all sitting on the couch together watching him play with his little, you know, his little gift. And it was the sweetest thing. I was like, you know, why not sometimes do things like this? Like,
right. Well, whose expectations would you be trying to, like you said, he has none. He's two. He has no expectations. Obviously, you know, but by the time you get to the fourth grandkid, I don't know if you have siblings with kids, but, you know, the grandparents are way relaxed by that point. They're like, yeah, we've done this before. Nobody cares. It's like for you to have thrown him a party would have been to meet somebody else's expectations, or only if you really love throwing parties.
Right.
Then do it for yourself. But if you don't want to and he doesn't know, then who cares? It's not going to make any difference.
I know. I mean, still part of me felt guilty, but I was like, this is so sweet. And yes. Now we don't have like a bunch of like plastic toys right. cluttering up the house.
And all that packaging that is like, yeah. you know, that takes up three trash bags after a party, you know.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's funny. That actually sounds very similar to my, which this is going to sound even worse. I don't really even remember my youngest daughter's second birthday because it's been a year and a half now, but it was such a blip. Just because, you know, she's the fifth, we have lots of birthdays that happen and it was a 2-year-old birthday. So we didn't make a big deal about it. I think we had cake. And I think we might've had my brother and his wife and their kids over just to eat the cake.
Yeah.
And I remember very clearly the present thing because it's really – 2 is a very difficult age, I feel, to buy gifts for because they're kind of outgrowing toddler toys. You don't really want to be like, oh, you know, let's get you one of those like bead things or whatever that they're maybe right. not going to be into in 6 months. But they're too little really for much else.
Yeah.
You know, they're not really big enough for ride-on toys unless they're like – I feel like it's a really difficult age to buy. They're like not yet – they're still a baby in a lot of ways, but they're not really, you know – gonna be a baby much longer.
Yeah, it's true.
But they're not a big kid yet. So I think we maybe got her like a doll or something. Just like one present. And she didn't know any different. I mean, did not care. Did not care at all.
Yeah, so. Of course. I mean, it's the love that matters. It's right. like the attention and, you know, hanging out together. And sometimes organizing a party can be really stressful. And next mm-hmm. thing you know, you're barking at your kids and, right. you know, yelling at them for making messes because all these people are going to be coming over in a minute and stuff like that. And it's like, does it really matter? Like right. sometimes it does. And, you know, that's fine. But,
right.
but other times I think it's okay just to be like, you know what, let's just do something ourselves, you know, right. our little family.
Now I wanted to ask you, this just reminded me of another thing that I felt weird about at first, but now later I thought, well, who cares? You know, for like Clara's first birthday and for the other kids' first birthdays, or I'm not, sorry, not first birthdays, first Christmas,
yeah,
and second Christmas, they usually, well, the first Christmases, they've all gotten like nothing. And their second Christmases, yeah. they've all gotten like, you know, some little thing, you know, just to have something under the tree. And
right.
I know parents who are very insistent on like everything being completely fair with gifts. Mm-hmm. And I don't go down that road. Because I feel like it's impossible to be completely fair. So yeah, I'm just curious how you feel about that.
Yeah, no, we definitely, I don't think about the fairness. I think about sort of the age and what's appropriate for that time of their life and mm-hmm. what they're interested in, what they'll even care about, you know?
Right.
So, you know, we don't really have like a plan or tradition. In fact, our tradition keeps changing. Like for a while we were doing stocking gifts and I was like, oh my gosh, this is just and you know, when we would meet with my parents, we would be opening presents so long that we would have to break for lunch and then go back to opening presents because we're also funny. The type of family who like needs to focus on each person.
So one person's like, okay, opening and everyone's watching.
Stop. Yeah, yeah. Sophia's opening her present now. And so everyone has to ooh and ah and like look at it, examine right. it. So it takes us a long time. It's not like, I mean, we did have an insane amount of presents, but it wasn't only that. Whereas my husband's family, they stand around the kitchen table. He's Italian. And I don't yeah. think Christmas is that big of a deal, as big as Easter and stuff.
Right.
So anyway, they would stand around the table and they'd be like, go or something, literally, and everyone's like ripping over their presents at the same time. Each person had like one or two, and then in like 3 seconds flat it was over.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. That's so funny. Yeah, and ours is kind of a mix of the two, I guess, like where we'll start off with everyone opening, you know, slowly. And then after a while, I'm like, well, and oftentimes what ends up happening is that John and I have more gifts. And we have more than our children. But mostly it's because my husband really likes to buy me gifts. And so he'll just buy like a lot of little stuff and wrap it up for me just to have stuff to give me. So I'll have this huge – and then I, of course, start off slow because I'm watching the kids open their gifts. So then pretty soon I have this huge pile on my feet. They're all just kind of looking at me. I'm like, okay, I guess I better start opening. So then I start, you know, things that probably could have been grouped together, he'll wrap all individually and whatever. It's fun and nobody really cares. But one thing I have noticed as the bigger kids are getting older is that, you know, my 7 and almost 9-year-olds, they're happy with any, like if they get like a little Lego set, they're so happy. Or if they get, like last year, the thing they loved the most was one of them got a Captain America shield and the other one got a Thor helmet. And those were this, like, they were actually just like these things I saw and were like, I bet they would like those, whatever. I need like one more gift to round this out. Let's just get it. Yeah. And they, that was the thing, like the least expensive thing that they played the most with. They play with those for months and months and months, and they'll still get them out sometimes and play with them. They don't care. Now the big kids, you know, you're looking at big ticket items for a 14-year-old. It's not, you can't necessarily, so sometimes my teenagers might have one gift, really, you know, and then a book or something like that. But like they'll have like one fun thing, and it's like part of me feels a little guilty about it, but the other part of me is like, this is growing up. This is what you start to realize that it's there's just not like little playthings anymore, you know?
Right. Yeah, sure. Yeah. So. And that's okay. I mean, yeah. I think they would be happy to get that one big item. Right. I mean, it's probably something that you've figured out that they want and,
right.
and whatever. But something we've done to avoid like those little things I just remembered was that we, instead of the stocking gifts, we put in little notes in the stockings. So I made up these little like little sheets of paper that said something like, "Dear blank, I love it when you, I remember when you, and you should get an award for blank." And so on Christmas Eve, we all sat around and, you know, wrote notes to each other and stuck them in the stockings. And then on Christmas morning, whoever stocking it was distributed the notes. And it was just, you know, some of my parents had, or my parents had a little bit of a hard time accepting that because it requires being kind of vulnerable and right. opening yourself. I mean, it's a lot of times it's easier to, you know, just grab something off the shelf and wrap right. it up than actually think about how you feel about somebody or say something nice or I don't, you know, it's yeah, weird.
No, I agree. And also, you know, it takes time and it requires attention, like paying attention and then remembering things. And that's not always easy either, you know, and it's not always something that we're, especially during that busy Christmas season, it's not always something that we feel like we have time for.
Uh-huh. So. One thing I did, I was like so freaked out last Christmas because I got really, really busy with my blogging and work and these videos I was doing that I normally like to start ahead of time and do some, you know, gifts that I put together and stuff, but I just had no time. So I gave people month club gifts, but like homemade month club. So for my dad, I gave him cookie of the month club.
That's cute.
And so, but was, so it sort of spread out the work over the whole year.
Right.
I know I'm going to regret this when it comes back, you know. But, so I promised him that we would make him a batch of cookies and send him one every month. Because they live in Ohio. They live far from us. And for my mom, I gave her Art of the Month Club. So I would send her my kids' artwork and homework and, you know, schoolwork, basically. And then for my husband, I gave him a Wine of the Month Club. I looked into the ones that the commercial ones, but it was just unbelievably expensive. And most of it was shipping costs.
Right.
I was like, why don't I just buy a bottle of wine and pair it with like a candlelit dinner with him and ask my kids to either the older kids to babysit the younger ones or put on a movie for everybody. And just so make sure that we have that time together once a month, just sitting down and talking to each other. You know, without having to hire a babysitter or go to an event or something like that. So I think those presents worked out really well. Like people love them and they were not expensive.
Well, and what I love about that too is that it those are all things that are nice ideas, like sending your mother-in-law the or your mother the artwork, but you might have just forgotten. But now that you've committed, you know?
Yeah, it helped me be a better person because I knew I should have been doing those things,
right.
but I wasn't because I was getting busy with other things that, you know, sometimes like the urgent, little urgent details can sort of overshadow the important things in our life. And right. sometimes, you know, well, I definitely am guilty of that. You know, I was getting caught up in career and stuff like that and not remembering to keep good contact with grandparents and send them pictures right. and like things like that. And even with my husband, I mean, it requires putting a dinner with him on the calendar to make it happen
right. or else it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's never the perfect time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So shifting gears a little bit, you know, now that we're talking about we're kind of leading up to this, talking about this busyness of the season. And
yeah,
I know you must have ideas about ways to kind of scale that back and how, you know, how do you how do you handle your commitments and negotiate those sometimes, especially with family? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, for example, my daughter has a Christmas birthday. So,
like actually on Christmas?
Well, it's the 21st.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So close.
So to avoid, you know, the craziness of trying to have a party, you know, at that time, we, you know, sometimes we've actually done a half birthday. So like, so I could do an outdoor party. I would do it like on June 21st at the pool. Mm-hmm. But, now she's gotten too old for that. So we, we'll celebrate it early in the month. And like I said, a small sleepover party instead right. of, you know, a big shindig. You know, I, for example, for Thanksgiving and Christmas, I make the same dishes every year. Mm-hmm. I'm not going out into Martha Stewart looking for trouble and like, right. oh, what, how can I spice up the stuffing recipe this year? I make the exact same thing every year. Because, you know, we only have it once or twice a year. Like right. our Thanksgiving and Christmas menus are pretty similar. And people look forward to that. Like right. my kids, like, they're like, oh, we can't wait for pumpkin pie and, oh, the stuffing and mashed potatoes. Like, they know what to expect and they look forward to it. So mm-hmm. why should I go out trying to complicate things and change it?
Right.
So I know exactly how to make these things. I do it the same way. And they start getting into the action, helping me and stuff. So that's one way that I simplify the holidays is I just make the same recipes over and over. If I'm going to make Christmas cookies, I find a recipe that I love or that people love. Like we make this really easy toffee. It's not even real toffee, but it's like tastes like toffee. It's so easy. It's made with saltines and chocolate chips and stuff, and give that away to the teachers or right. you know, things like that. And that also saves money too. So I'll bake or we will bake a bunch of cookies. Then I'll have my children write a handwritten note. And I sometimes will write a handwritten note depending on the age of the children. To the teachers and to the people that, you know, we want to thank and that we care for. So, you know, it just, it cuts down on all the shopping and the errands and it's right. I think, more meaningful to people anyway.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like in our family, we don't buy gifts for really like anybody except for our own families. So for example, yeah. I have four siblings and we don't buy a gift for each other's kids. It would be ridiculous. We have so many kids.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It's like
yeah.
my brother has three, my other brother has four, and my sister has four. So,
yeah,
you know, that's a lot of kids. We don't. And we don't buy for each other. We just, I feel like at some point it would start to feel like we were just handing each other money and then just handing it back. Like, right. you know, like here, let me give you $100. Now you hand it back to me. Thanks. That's literally how it would feel.
Yeah.
And just the sheer number would become so overwhelming.
I agree.
And I just think that that's something that's hard for a lot of families to wrap their heads around. Like a lot of people really want to express love through gift giving. And I love giving gifts. I love it. But I want to give a gift when it's something I feel moved to give. Not just because.
After a while, it starts feeling like an obligation. But you can't right. really, it's hard to do the moved thing either. Because then what if you're moved to give something to your brother and you didn't think of anything for
exactly.
your sister?
Exactly.
And so it's, I think your approach is good just to sort of cut it out completely.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, some friends want to give things to each other and it always makes me feel guilty when someone like, it's like, oh, I bought you this or I cooked you these cookies and stuff. Yeah. And, I think it's okay to accept that and not right. feel like you have to run home and bake some and give them to them.
Right. Exactly. And one thing I will do, like if I do feel like if I just am out and I see something that I think my brother would really love or my sister would really love, the way I'll do it is I'll give it to them well before or after the holiday and I don't wrap it. I just don't make it into like a big deal.
Yeah.
And then I don't feel so weird about maybe having bought for one person and not the other. Although my siblings, I don't think would really care. They're just not, we just don't have that kind of family, but still it makes me feel better about it. Cause it's not like I said, oh, I bought you this Christmas gift and yeah. not for you though.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that approach.
And I, you know, and I just feel like it gets so overwhelming with all the gift giving. Like if you read a magazine article about who you're supposed to give gifts to, you're supposed to give them to what? The garbage man, the mailman, yeah. the teachers and administrators. And my kids now, some of them, even the elementary school kids have several teachers each because they have aid. They have classroom aides. Sometimes yeah. they have team teachers. We don't want to forget about the art and music teachers. I mean, those people count too. It's like, it just becomes so, it just adds yeah. on and becomes kind of ridiculous after a while.
I know. And you do want to thank those people and remember them, but you know, here's another thing that I did with my kids. I would have them write a 2-sentence note. So they don't have to spend a half an hour on writing a note to each of these people. Started out with thank you for, and then the next sentence starts out with something like, I like how you, da da da.
That's a great idea.
Specific to the person. I mean, it's no like, you're the best teacher ever. You know, that's just meaningless because it, you know, it could anybody be could be written to anybody. So
just as meaningless as a world's number one teacher mug.
Exactly. And you know those teachers don't want any more.
Oh no.
I mean, so I try to make them get as specific as possible about the person. And, you know, they've come up with the most adorable things. And I think that the teachers really do appreciate it. And they can just tuck it away in a file. They don't have to, like, put it in their attic with a bunch of other clutter, you know. It's like one slip of paper is easy to save.
Yeah. With,
you know, creating more, you know, stuff in our households. And
now, that do you guys do, like, a photo holiday card?
No.
No, we don't either.
Yeah.
We did one. Well, we did one last year, but what I did was I had the photo because I needed to send photos to a lot of family members I'd been kind of slacking on anyway.
Yeah.
So I did the photos separately from the card so that people could have them up. Like, so what I did was I went to, I think it was Walgreens.com or something. And I just picked out like 4 cute pictures of the kids and did them in a collage. Had them a bunch printed out, and then I just tucked them inside the card. And what I liked about that is I felt like now they can leave it up all year or, you know, they don't feel pressured to hang it on their fridge just because it's a Christmas card. They can just – they can do whatever they want with it.
Yeah.
And I know for me, I get overwhelmed with – I mean, and I love it when people send me – I love it when – I'm not telling anybody out there to stop. But I love it when I get all these cards to these kids, but then I'm like, well, no, I don't want to throw away these children, but what am I supposed to do?
It feels really terrible. Like, what do you do with these Christmas cards with people's, you know,
children? And I mean, and I get so many. And so like this year I had the people, you know, like I had a bunch of them on my windowsill in my kitchen. And one of them, for some reason, I don't really know what happened. I think I must've been dumping out like a steamy pot or something in the sink.
Yeah.
And like my brother's children's faces all melted off. I was like, oh, well, I guess that now I have to throw this one away. And then I felt bad because my other brother's kids were still up. And so my one brother, and then they came to visit and I almost wanted to be like, I'm sorry your kids aren't on the sill. Their faces melted off. Sorry. It's not that we don't love you as much, you know. So there's just all the expectations. You know, that's what it is. It's all of, we just take on so much pressure because we think there's not even a rule book. We don't even know what we're supposed to be doing. We just feel like there's something we're supposed to be doing that we're not.
Yeah. So many shoulds.
Yes. Yeah. So many shoulds.
Yeah.
But I do think that most people are also out there not really exactly knowing what to do. So, you know, maybe we're all a lot more forgiving of each other than we think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where was I reading recently that we're harder on ourselves than anybody else?
Right.
I think it was maybe the Brené Brown research about vulnerability. Like if you see someone on stage getting all nervous and stuff, you're not going to think how terrible they are. You're going to be like, wow, that, you know, that looks really hard and I feel bad for them. And oh my gosh, you know, they had the courage to stand in front of 1,000 people. But if it were you, you'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm the worst. You know,
and
this is, I just really screwed this up and I, you know, I can't, I'm just never doing this again because I'm, you know, I'm just not good at it and I'm, you know, inadequate. So I think we're harder on ourselves than anybody else. And I think if our heart is in the right place and we're warm, friendly people and we thank people, I mean, that's another thing. Like if you get presents and you don't really feel like you want to reciprocate with another present, just be really grateful for what they gave you. And people love that. I mean, that's kind of part of the whole gift giving thing is that they want to feel appreciated. And so if you do appreciate the gifts, that's huge. I mean,
And I love to get gifts, but honestly, I would so much rather give a gift and know that someone really, really loved it. That to me is much more satisfying.
I know it is. It is. It's true. And kids really learn that too pretty early on. They love seeing, you know, someone's reaction when they open something that they've given them and, you know, can't wait till so-and-so will open his present on Christmas. And it's sweet.
Yeah, it is. And it's a good lesson for them. And so I think, you know, if we had like one sum up to come away with, it's maybe just to kind of do things your way in a way that's comfortable to you, and not to let other, you know, what you think other people's expectations might be, because you don't know. A.
That's true.
And yep. It doesn't matter, B. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think that it's really easy to get caught up in an idea of what the holidays are supposed to look like, but there really isn't a supposed to, and everybody does it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And any idea we have about the way everyone else is doing it, we've kind of created that, you know, in our heads, or it's coming out of a magazine or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. The magazines and TV and all that it's like a love-hate thing, you know? I mean, it's exciting and fun to see all these beautiful crafts and everything, but then it makes you look at your own, like, centerpiece and be like, oh my God, that's depressing. But, you know, it's, kids don't care about that stuff.
No,
like
they don't.
Saying, like, kids really look forward to the traditions, like the stuff that you've done, your pumpkin pie, whether it comes out of a can or not, like your cranberry sauce, your, you know, fake toffee cookies, you know, I mean, it's really just, you know, it's like the simple things. And if something is going to stress you out and is going to make things worse and it's going to make you run all over the city to do this or that or invite a bunch of people, then, you know, maybe step back and ask yourself why you're doing those things. Mm-hmm. Is it necessary? Could you scale it back? Could you eliminate it? Could you just agree not to give gifts or whatever it is? I mean, a lot of you might be surprised that other people are thinking the same things. They're like, oh, I'm so glad you said skip that Christmas party this year, whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. You're totally right. Like sometimes you have to be the person to initiate, but you might be amazed that how many other people are thinking exactly along the same lines as you. And the kids don't care. They're happy. You know, isn't it funny when you think back to things when you were a kid and the way you remember it, and then you think, was that really how it was? Like, I remember everything bigger and more special than it really was, you know, like, and sometimes I'll be talking about, my sister's 10 years older than me, and I'll be talking about something that happened when I was like 6 or 7. And she's like, that's not how it was. And I'm, you know, she remembers cause she was almost an adult. I'm just like, oh, really? Because in my head, it was awesome, you know.
Oh, so, that's sweet. Yeah.
But it's kids are kids, and they're when we make an effort, and also when we show up with a positive spirit about it, that's what they want. You know, they want everyone to be having fun together and maybe something a little special. And that's it. They're not hard to please.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. All the, like, you know, special outings and all that. Maybe one or two or something, but it's more like just, you know, getting into your family's version of the holidays. And yeah, exactly. Like just getting into it and having fun, but not, you know, trying to like outdo yourself or, you know, try this newfangled, extravagant, whatever it is, you know, turkey stuffing, you know, it's just, I don't know. I just feel like it's the familiarity that's so comforting. And sometimes that's all we want is just to go back, you know, go back to the way things were and remember and enjoy, brings up memories from past years. And
that's, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Well, this has been really fun, Amy. It's been great talking with you again. For y'all listening, this is Amy Swarty, and her blog is frugal-mama.com. And you can go to the post today from the show notes, and I'll include some of the links we talked about and information about Amazon Prime and all that, because I think that's actually a really great solution for a lot of people. So I so appreciated having you here, Amy, and I look forward to maybe having you on again sometime.
It was really fun. Thanks, Megan.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for spending time with me this week for this episode of the Kitchen Hour podcast. For more information about our guest, Amy Swarty, you can visit the show notes. That's thekitchenhour.com/episode5. And you can also visit Amy's blog at frugal-mama.com. I'd love to hear what you think of the guests I've had on so far, or also get suggestions for guests you'd like to see in upcoming shows and show topics. So if you have any opinions at all, go ahead and shoot me a note at megan@thekitchenhour.com. I would just love to hear what you think of the shows and what you think I should do next. Have a great week.